Father, make us the masters of ourselves so that we may be the servant of others. Take our minds and think with them. Take our lips and speak with them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. To give people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's from the canticle that we read, we chanted this morning. Today is the last Sunday in the Christian calendar. It is Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday celebrates the full authority of Christ as King and Lord of the universe. Kings are associated with power, edicts, military superiority, a following of loyal subjects dedicated to pleasing the whims of the king, and greed for more area and more power. In Jesus' day, the king was also considered the son of the local god. So a king is understood as the most powerful boss. Kingdoms then and now are geographical areas controlled by the royalty, king or queen. They're defined locations, often with a specific race or culture of people. They tend to be exclusive and restricted populations. And they are usually defined by chronological time, as in the reign of King so-and-so. So these are our understandings of kings and kingdoms. And so we often think of Christ the King, the powerful one in charge of all the universe. Then why such odd readings for this particular day? Especially the gospel. There seems to be some sort of disconnect. In Luke today, Jesus in no way resembles the definition of a king. In this gospel, Jesus appears helpless, powerless against the society and culture, especially the political, social, and faith communities. He has been framed, tortured, and is on public display as he dies a gruesome death. He is ridiculed and taunted by leaders and criminals alike, and upon hearing similar questions as those from Satan in his 40 days in the wilderness, he is tempted to deny his relationship with God. Where is the display of kingship? Where is the army of men and angels that is coming to his rescue? Where is the most powerful king of all? This scene depicts the image of a despised criminal. The selection of this gospel reading for Christ the King Sunday is truly puzzling. And it can easily cause us to think, as Bill Gurtis said in EFM one night, I'm as lost as last year's Easter egg. Well, it might help us to look into the words that Jesus said to the criminal. Today you will be with me in paradise. The original word that was translated into the English word paradise meant garden. Specifically, in Greek and Hebrew use, it referred to the Garden of Eden, the promise to eat from the tree of life, a place of exceptional happiness and delight, the sum total of the blessedness of being in God's presence. What the criminal heard was a definition of heaven and a promise that he would be in the presence of God. And it is from this understanding that we have generated this idea of heaven as a physical location far from earth. Well, during this long season after Pentecost that started in June, Luke has been quoting Jesus saying, "The kingdom of God is yours. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come upon you. And it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Heaven, paradise, the kingdom of God is right here. And it is God's good pleasure to give it to us. Frankly, this is just a little bit more confusing. Don't we have to live a sinless life to earn our way to a place called heaven? Isn't heaven a place, a location to aspire reaching? How can it possibly be here in our midst? Here is a very messy place. Not at all like this pristine heaven with perfect heavenly beings and streets of gold. And what about this idea of Christ as the king? Christ, or Messiah, represented to the Israelites the one who saves or rescues them out of compassion and rescues them from the clutches of harm and oppression. So they began to describe the Messiah in the terms of the lives of the earthly Hebrew kings, Saul, Solomon, David, and others. The compassionate rescuer somehow transformed into a military commander. Well, now Jesus, who was a faithful Jew and rabbi, received the scriptures in a fresh new way. In sacred scripture, he heard that the love that is God created the earth and the people. He heard that God loved the people so deeply that he gave them the freedom to choose their own way, always with the hope that they will return to him with love. Jesus saw the forgiveness that is the gift from God and the mercy and compassion that grow from this love. Jesus sought to teach the people that God loves them, that all are children of this loving God, and that we are to live in that love and return it. Return it to God, to ourselves, to others, and to the creation itself. Jesus wanted the people to know that God will go to any length to welcome them back into a loving relationship. That is, back to Eden, back into God's loving presence. God will go so far as to come to earth in the form of a human son, to live fully into that life of the people he created, up to and including the experience of being the victim of the worst things that people can do to one another, even to death and descending to hell. And so, from this understanding, Jesus gave us the stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the pearl of great price, the father's love for the prodigal son, and so many others. From Jesus' closeness to God, he was able to heal, forgive, return life to the dead, rebuke evil, and proclaim that the kingdom of God is here. If the kingdom is near, here, and ours, and yet not of this world, as Jesus said, could it be that the kingdom, that is paradise or heaven, cannot be adequately described as a place or a location at all? Perhaps Jesus is inviting us to accept that God is the almighty power, the creator of this and all of creation, and that perhaps the real power is not what we think it is. Jesus lived into the reality of being the child of God, the Savior, the King of heaven, and showed us the way to bring the kingdom of God into our earthly life. In the midst of all the torture, pain, and anguish of the crucifixion, Jesus refuses to retaliate in words or acts of earthly power. choosing instead to be loving, compassionate, forgiving, and nonviolent, even as his life is stolen from him. Jesus chooses love, to live that love here on earth. The kingdom of God is not one of location, military power, acquisition, demands, oppression, vengeance, punishment, greed, and death. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is one of love, humility, willing servanthood, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, kindness, hope, and relationship. God allows us the freedom to choose the kingdom in which we live, in the here and now, and in eternity. We have the freedom to choose God's kingdom of love, or the earthly, human-created kingdom of power and domination. Regardless of our choice, God will never lose us. God will continue to offer us love, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness in the eternal hope that we will choose to return to his kingdom. If we trust Jesus when he says that the kingdom is here, ours, and not of this world, could it be that we can choose to be a part of living in the kingdom of God right here and right now? Will we choose to live as the beloved children of God? The God of love is the one we affirm in the Nicene Creed each week. It is the ultimate power of the King of Love that we claim to trust and follow. So today, let's try something a little different. As you say the creed, try replacing the word believe each time it occurs in the creed with the word trust. Because our Christian faith is about trusting the one King we worship as we choose to live in his kingdom, the kingdom of love. Amen.